But turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 will be that will be our first passage this morning. First, I want to welcome everyone. Those of you who may be visiting with us, we want you to know that we're grateful that you've come to be with us this morning. I want to mention I had a very encouraging visit with Joe Bond this week. Joe, of course, is not doing well physically. And we're praying for him that he may be well, that things will go well with him. They're going to do a decompression therapy type thing on his leg to maybe try to save it. But if that doesn't work, they will have to amputate. That's the good leg, the lower portion of it. So we sure want to remember Joe in our prayers. But he also stated to me that his faith has been wavering, and that he wanted to recommit himself to the Lord. And so we went to God in prayer and asked God to forgive him. He acknowledged sin within his life. And he also mentioned to me, he said that, you know, the times when he, before he went into the veterans' home, that he did not come on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And he said that he should have done that. And he says if he ever gets out and was able to be out, that he would be back in those services on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And I appreciate that. I appreciate his commitment to the Lord. He needs our prayers, not only physically, but also spiritually, as he strives to serve the Lord. He's in all the services if he's able to be there at the veterans' home. And I appreciate him very much. And so let's remember Joe in our prayers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul is instructing the church in Corinth. There was a need, and the need was needy saints in Jerusalem. They were in need of financial help. And so Paul had instructed various churches to make a contribution for these needy saints. He says, beginning with verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Notice, in order for them to raise these funds, it was free will offerings of its members on the first day of the week. And these were instructions he not only gave to the church in Corinth, but to the churches of Galatia, also no doubt to the churches of Macedonia, because he encouraged them, or gave them as an example of their giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And what's the instruction? That on the first day of every week, they were to lay by each of them, give as they prospered, in order for this work to be done, so that a collection could be made, and so that this collection could then be taken to the church in Jerusalem, and the saints there be taken care of. This is how churches raise its funds to do its work. It's by free will offerings of its members on the first day of the week. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is talk about our giving on the first day of the week. Every time we find churches raising funds to do a work, it was free will offerings of its members. In Acts 2 and Acts 4, there was a need in the church in Jerusalem, and each gave of their ability. Those who had lands or possessions, they would sell them, and they would take the proceeds and put it at the apostles' feet. A collection was made in order for the work then to be done. And that's the only way the early church raised its funds. We do not find them raising their funds in any other way. So the authority that we have of how churches raises its funds to do its work is free will offerings of its members on the first day of the week. And so we don't find churches going into business to raise money. We don't find them having cake sales or having raffles or investing its money in the stock market. We don't find them soliciting contributions from non-Christians, from the world. It was free will offerings of its members on the first day of the week. And that's what we do. That's the reason we pass the basket around, is in order for you to carry out this responsibility of contributing for the work this local church. And that sometimes we'll even say, this is not for our visitors. This is not for those who are of the community. This is a responsibility that we as the members of this congregation have. And that's right. I want to talk about that. What's involved in this giving? It's been a while since I've preached on giving, and what does the Bible say about our giving, each member of this congregation giving for the work of the church? Well, acceptable giving, first of all, is personal. Notice here in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, Paul says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. That's something that each individual member, each individual Christian is to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul is urging the Corinthians to complete this contribution, he says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or in necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice, each one is to do this. In Acts chapter 11, when the disciples in Antioch determined to send relief to the needy saints in Judea, it says, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. So each one who receives, each one who prospers, is to give. That includes the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the single and the married. We ought not to say, well, we'll let the wealthy do that. They've got it, they can do it, and I don't have any responsibility. No, we all have the responsibility to give according to our ability. The wealthy will be able to give more than what others are able to give. But we all have a responsibility to give. It is an individual responsibility. You know, we understand that as it comes to our obedience to the gospel, you know, when we obey the gospel, somebody else cannot obey the gospel for me. As Peter said to the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you cannot be baptized for me, I cannot be baptized for you. It's a personal decision that we make. And we understand we're all going to stand before Christ in judgment as individuals. I'm going to have to give an account of myself to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Why do we emphasize the individuality of our obeying the gospel and standing before Christ in judgment? But we fail to understand our individual responsibility in this area, that each one is then to give on the first day of the week. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone has to actually put the money into the basket itself. It may be the husband and wife. You know, they both maybe have incomes. He has income, she has. Well, they're both to give of their ability. They may combine it into one check and give it, and one places it in the basket, but each is giving. And I would say that's true of children, those who have become Christians, that they have a responsibility. If they have an income, they receive an allowance from their parents. They have a responsibility to give of their means. Or they have a job that they are where they're making money, then they have a responsibility to give of their means. And I think it would be a good thing even for those who are not Christians, those children, as we train them. They receive a certain amount, they have a responsibility to give of that. But what he's talking about here are members of the congregation. Each has a responsibility. If you are receiving an income, then you have the responsibility to give of that income for the work of the church. But then secondly, when we look at our giving on the first day of the week, we find that it was periodic. It was on the first day of every week. Matter of fact, the Greek bears that out. That's not expressed in the New King James Version. But look here in the New American Standard Version. It says, on the first day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. Also, in the New International Version, on the first day of every week, let each one of you each one of you rather, should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Notice, every week. And the Greek bears that out. And so it's on the first day of every week. Our giving should not be contingent upon whether or not we're asked. You know, we say, well, they didn't ask this morning, so I didn't have to give. It's not contingent upon whether or not we like the sermon. It's not contingent upon whether or not we have a gospel meeting or not. Where there is a need, there's the responsibility of giving. Someone says, that's right. They only gave when there was a need to give. And that's right. I agree with that. The early church were commanded to give because of the need. Benevolent need, as in 1 Corinthians 16 and Acts 2 and Acts 4. But we know that churches also raise funds to preach the gospel, to support preachers. Paul received funds from Philippi as he went out to preach the gospel. Paul received wages from the church in Corinth as he ministered unto them. received wages from other churches as he ministered to the church in Corinth. And so in the work of preaching and teaching, they also raised funds in order to do that work. And so we look at whatever the work that God has called upon the local church to do, our assembling for worship, our work of edification, our evangelistic work, our benevolent work in the helping of needy saints, those are things that we are to provide for, and there's a need for money at times, a need for contribution in order for those works to be done. And the reason that we give every first day of the week is because that need is ongoing. That need is always present. You know, as you consider our evangelistic work of preaching the gospel, supporting the gospel preachers here, as well as other preachers, and though there are always preachers that are needing the wages in order for them to commit their lives to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. But then there's also the our meeting place requires money for the upkeep of this building. Edification work, our Bible classes, the class material and the supplies that go into taking care of that to make sure that good teaching is done. Our gospel meetings, our radio program, our Bible correspondence courses, all the things that we do to get the gospel out require some money. And that's ongoing. It's ever present. And that's the reason that we continue to give. And as long as there's a need, there is the responsibility to do it upon the first day of every week. And we don't do it on other days. We don't do it on Wednesday nights during gospel meetings. We don't pass a basket. The instruction was that on the first day of every week, that each of us to give in order for these works to be done. That's the only instruction that we have in Scripture of how the early church raised its funds to do its work. But also we find that it was purposed and it was given pleasant heart. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again in verse 7. Paul says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. As he purposes in his heart. In other words, our giving should not be an afterthought. It shouldn't be something that we decide, you know, after they say, now we're wanting to give, the basket will be passed, and then we think, oh, I guess I better give something, and we pull out our wallet, and whatever we have in there, you know, we give, or a portion of that, we then give. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. He says, our giving needs to be as we purpose in the heart. And so we need to give with the purpose in mind. Why do we give? We give in order for this work to go on. Let me tell you, say this. It's always important that in our giving that we don't give just because the Lord said give. Now the Lord said give, but the Lord said give for a purpose. And we talked about the works that we're involved in. Evangelism, the edification of this church. And that's something we are very much interested in. And we want to make sure that the gospel is spread out to the world. And we're doing that work of getting the gospel out. And also, we want this church to grow, to be edified. We want these members, our brothers and sisters, to be saved. And so we provide means whereby they can be taught and be edified. And so that's a good work. And there are times that we do benevolent work. In this country, there's not as much. There are times where we need it. Matter of fact, when the floods in Texas took place, there were many churches that contributed to those churches there who were in destitute needs. And we were a part of that. And when overseas, when there are typhoons and catastrophic events that occur that put brethren in need and financial need, then we're here to help. And we do that. We're a part of that. And so these are good works, and we need to realize that's the reason I'm giving. And so when I purpose to give, I give with that in mind. This is a good work. This is doing the work of the Lord, and I want to be a part of that. And so it needs to be purposed. Also, notice he says here, not grudgingly or of necessity. Now the word grudgingly comes from two Greek words in the Greek text, which means out of sorrow. And he says it's not to be that. It's not to be out of sorrow, grudgingly. And of necessity also comes from the two Greek words, which means out of necessity, just because I have to give. And so our giving should not come from a heart that's saying, do I have to do this? Okay, I have to. I'll give anyway. That's not the kind of giving that the Lord wants us to give. As a matter of fact, when we give that way, the Lord says, I don't want it. You remember in the days of Malachi when the children of Israel had returned from the captivity and they were offering their sacrifices. They were making offerings to the Lord. But notice what it says about it in Malachi chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He says, but you profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? What's interesting to me is they were bringing an offering. They were doing this. But it was a weariness. They really didn't want to. And what they offered, they didn't want to offer their best. And so they offered the lame and the sick. And the Lord says in this passage, if you read through chapter 1, He says, I wish someone would close the doors to the temple. He didn't want that kind of offering. And when we offer grudgingly, and it's just of necessity, the Lord doesn't want that. What He does want, He wants us to be cheerful in our giving, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful comes from a word that W. Vine said signifies that readiness of mind, that joyousness which is prompt to do anything, hence cheerful. Really, it's the idea of out of joy. In other words, there's joy that's involved in the giving. And it involves that readiness of mind where I'm ready to give because I want to give. That's the kind of giving that the Lord wants us to be involved in our giving. No, this is in contrast to that grudging giving, giving with sorrow, just because we have to. He wants us to give gladly. And you know, putting God and His kingdom first in our life is going to help us to then give that way, to give cheerfully. It's because when God is the most important item in my life, and that is Him and doing His work, His kingdom is first in my life, then I want to make sure that that is promoted. And so that's going to help me then to give with that kind of heart, a cheerful giver. So our giving needs to be purposed and it needs to be pleasant. But also our giving needs to be preferred. You know, God requires first place in the lives of His people. He's always done that. He required it in the lives of the children of Israel of old. God commanded the children of Israel to love Him. If you notice in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And that's, Jesus said, that is the first and great commandment. And matter of fact, loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God with all of your heart, soul, and strength is the first and the second commandment. He says on these hang all the law and the prophets. And so all the commands of God that He gave to the children of Israel could be summed up under those two commands, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. So, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's going to affect the kind of service they wanted. And also, He expected their giving to be from the first, the best of their produce was to be given to God. Exodus 23:19, just one of the passages says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk." In other words, the first of their first fruits, they were then to give. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." And so they were to give the best, the first fruits. And also in their sacrifices. We've already mentioned that they were not giving the best of their animals and sacrifices to God, but this is what the Lord required. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the stranger in Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows or for any of his freewill offerings, which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. Whatever has a defect you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. But whoever offers a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow or a free will offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted, and there shall be no defect in it." Now, the Lord wanted him to come first in the lives of the Israelites, and this is how it was then to be reflected. Is in their offerings, the first of the first fruits, the best of their animals that they were to offer were to be unto the Lord. And that's true of Christians too. What does the Lord want? Well, He wants first place. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 10:37-39, Jesus says, "If we love father or mother more than me, and we're not worthy of Him." He says, "If you love son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me." In other words, He comes before family. Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In other words, we don't even come before the Lord. The Lord is first. In Luke 14:26, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." In verse 33, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And Jesus is exaggerating here to emphasize the point that you don't put family before me. If ever there's a conflict between what your family wants or what you want, and what I want, I always come first. And so we understand that when it comes to what the Lord wants of us in our hearts, in our lives. And what that will be reflected in is in our giving. If the Lord is the number one priority of our life and His cause, then it's going to show itself in our giving unto the Lord. Let me ask you, what do you give to the Lord on the first day of the week? Do you give just the leftovers? You know, after you've got all you want, you've bought all you want, then whatever's left over, that's then what you give? The Lord doesn't want that, does He? I've told this story before of J.T. Lewis, John T. Lewis, who was a preacher in the Birmingham area for many, many years back in the early to mid 1900s. And there was a brother that I knew that knew him. And I spent a good bit of time with Brother John T. Lewis. And he said that one day that he was in Brother Lewis's home after Brother Lewis's wife had died. And a man came to the door. I think it was a house that belonged to the church that was next door to the meeting house. And a man came to the door and knocked on the door, and Brother Lewis answered it. And the man wanted some money for food. And Brother Lewis says, well, I don't have any money here with me, but I do have some food. I'd be glad to fix you up a plate of food. Well, the man didn't want that. He wanted the money. And Brother Lewis says, well, I just don't have that. Well, this brother that was telling me about this knew that Brother Lewis had some money in his desk drawer. And he even mentioned that to Brother Lewis. He says, Brother Lewis, you do have some money in your desk drawer. And he says, no, that's not mine. He'd already purposed that money. He'd already set it aside for it to be given on the first day of the week. And that was not going to be touched. Another thing about Brother Lewis, but this reflects his heart. What he would do every week is he would go to the bank and he would get the newest money, you know, the money that just come in from where they make it. And it was the crisp, newest money. And he wanted that. And that's what he would put into the plate or the basket on the first day of the week. He was giving the best to the Lord. The Lord was his priority in life. That's the attitude that we need to have in our giving. And I will tell you, the preferred giving is sacrificial giving. And the Bible talks about that. Matter of fact, when Paul was urging the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 to complete their contribution for the needy saints in Jerusalem, he gives the Macedonians as an example. He says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now notice what it says. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Now this church was in poverty. He calls it deep poverty here. They were not wealthy. But they had first given themselves to the Lord. That was their priority in their life. And that's the reason they gave liberally. Not as we had hoped, Paul said. What that means, it was not what we expected. We expected a certain amount, but they gave beyond that. They gave more than what we expected. That was sacrificial giving. And here Paul singles them out as a good example. Here's what they did. Here's a good example of what is pleasing unto the Lord. Also in Luke chapter 21, 1 through 4, who does Jesus single out in the contribution into the treasury? Well, it was this widow. Gave her 2 mites. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. That was not very much. So he said, truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in the offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, what I want us to note here is that Jesus singled her out. And what he is doing, he's saying that this is the kind of giving that the Lord notices. This is the kind of giving that God notices. That's not to say that he doesn't notice others who give of their means and give liberally. But when we give sacrificially, the Lord notices that too. And I will tell you, there will be times in our giving that it will then be sacrificial giving. There may be something that I'll be willing to give all that up in order to get this work done. In order for this work to be done. And a lot of times this is in situations of where there is an immediate need, a need that is to be done, and they were willing to sell their possessions and their lands. They were willing to make the sacrifices in order for this work to be done. That's the kind of heart that the Lord wants us to have. And that is preferred giving. But then also, one other point, and the lesson will be yours. Well, there's two, I'm sorry. It is to be plentiful. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, Paul says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Paul is encouraging a liberal contribution here. Now, the Lord did not say how much we're to give. We don't know exactly. We know that under the law of Moses, the Israelites were required to give a tithe. That's 10%. But under the new covenant, the Lord did not tell us exactly how much, what percentage of our income we're to give. That's according to our ability, as we prosper. Those are the terms that are used. So it's based on how much I make, is how much I give. And even though the Lord didn't give a particular percentage, we can look back at the law of Moses and we can consider what He did require of them as a measuring stick for us and maybe in how much we give. But maybe the point is that the Lord said, you know, we maybe can do more than that. Even the Israelites did more and gave more than just 10%. But the point is the Lord wants us to give liberally. And when we don't give what we can give, then we're robbing God. When we don't give what we ought to give, then the Bible refers to that as robbing God. Malachi 3 and verse 8, the Lord said to the children of Israel, those who had returned from the captivity, He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed Me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. It wasn't that they went into the treasury of the temple and they then stole money out of the treasury. And it's not that any of us would really, as the basket was passing along, would take some of that and pocket it. No, we wouldn't do that. But what the Lord is saying is when I ought to be giving a certain amount, what I should be giving, if I don't give that, then I am, in a sense, robbing God. Now, I understand this is a decision each of us has to make. And I grapple with this. We all grapple with those kinds of decisions. And we do have responsibilities to ourselves and to our families. The Lord even wants us to enjoy the life in which we live. But we understand that's not our priority. We can enjoy life. We enjoy what God has given us. But that's not the reason we're here. The reason we're here is to serve Him, to promote His cause, to bring glory then unto Him. And so as I think about that, and as I think about, okay, what should I give? Then I will give out of that kind of heart. And I want to give this because of the need that's there, of the good that is being done with that. And the Lord will be pleased. But when I realize that other things are more important, I'm really spending more money on myself, what I want, my pleasures are more important, and I am just giving just a meager amount, then what this is saying is that I am robbing God of that which is due Him. And then also, it is profitable. The Lord has promised that those who are generous in their giving will receive more. In Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Look also in chapter 11 of Proverbs, verses 24 to 26. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. I don't believe the Lord is saying here we're going to become millionaires as a result of our giving. If you give, then you're going to receive all of this money so that you can enjoy all of these things in your life. But He is saying that those who give will receive. But for those who give with the right heart, those who give because they've put God first in their life, then they're going to receive more in order to be able to do more good. And that's the point that Paul makes in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 11 and 12, where he's encouraging these Corinthian brethren to give, to complete their contribution. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. As it is written, He hath scattered abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness abideth forever. And he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, notice, shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us thanksgiving to God. He supplies our seed. He supplies all that we have. And so we give of that in order for His work to be done. And what will He do? He will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. He'll multiply your seed. You'll have more to sow. In other words, to do good. He will increase the fruits of your righteousness so that we can do more good. And that's our priority. Our priority is not to get rich for ourselves. Our priority is to glorify God. And when that is within our hearts, and we're giving liberally out of that heart, the Lord has promised that we'll have more to give. And so that is a part of our giving. It is profitable. And the Lord provides that as we then serve Him in this way. So acceptable giving is personal. It's periodic upon the first day of every week. It's purposed and pleasant. We purpose in our heart in giving, knowing why we're giving, and we do it not grudgingly or necessity, but with a cheerful heart. It is preferred. It is from a heart where we put God first and His work first in our life. It is plentiful. We give liberally, and the Lord will provide us with more ability to do good. And that's what the Bible says about our giving. And so as we think and make decisions about our contribution on the first day of the week, then these are the things that we need to think about. Not saying that you don't do that, but these are things we need to be reminded of in order that our giving will be pleasing unto the Lord. As we conclude the lesson, the question we always have to ask ourselves is, how does that apply to me? And how am I to implement this? And so let's take this with us. And it may be that there's some here this morning as we've talked about God and His love for us and how we are to make Him the priority in our life. Maybe you haven't been doing that. Maybe you're not a disciple of Christ. It may be that you don't love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, you can have that kind of heart. You can choose to come to Him with a heart of love, committing your life to Him. And we encourage you to do that. If you have not, come to Jesus this morning with that committed heart, with a love for Him. And when you come to Him in obedience to His gospel, that's the kind of heart that is required. Believing in Him, repenting of all sin, turning away from sin, committing your life. You confess your faith before Him with your mouth. You're willing to carry that gospel to the world. And you're now going to obey Him in baptism, being immersed in water in His name for the remission of your sins. If you've never been born again, you've never come to Christ and obeyed His gospel, please come and do that. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, the Lord has not been the priority in your life, then go to God in prayer right now with a penitent heart and ask God to forgive you. If you want the prayers of the brethren, come forward and we'll pray on your behalf that you may be healed. Don't leave here this morning without having that good heart, that loving heart for God. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.